How could God let this happen? I pray, but he doesn't answer. I want to believe, but he doesn't feel real. What am I doing wrong? I pray, but nothing happens. I read my Bible, but don't get anything out of it. I feel alone. I don't sense his presence. I feel numb.
So, we're tackling this question, where is God? Like, where is God when it seems like he's a million miles away? Where is God? Like, what's he up to when we pray and we pray and we pray, sometimes for years, and it seems like nothing happens? Where is God when everything inside of us wants to believe that he's good and he's kind and he's loving and he's present, that he cares? And not only do things not change, sometimes they seem like they get worse. Like, where's God? So that's the question we're going to tackle today. But the real question is, which one of us is going to squirm the most? Me or you? You see, today the challenge that I have is I have to explain to you one of the most difficult concepts in all of the Bible. It's a concept that seems to go completely contrary to everything that has to do with logic and rationale and reason. And you might find a certain pleasure in watching me try to explain that to you. But not only do I have to try to explain one of the most difficult concepts in all of the Bible, I have to get you to embrace it. I have to get you to accept it, understand it, and want to adopt it as a way that you go about living your life, particularly if you're a Christ follower. To embrace it to the point that you would live your life this way when this concept seems to go completely contrary to the human spirit. And we resist this very idea that we're going to talk about this morning. So I guess I might find a little pleasure in watching you trying to wrestle with it. Can I be completely candid? Would you, just for a moment, would you give me permission to say something in the way that we really say it? Like, where I don't feel like I have to pasteurize it to make it palatable for everybody in the room? Can I do that? And then I'll go back and I'll be careful. But here's the tension that we're dealing with today. For you to say, Paul, that's the worst idea I've ever heard in my entire life. But I can't wait to try it the next time my life completely sucks. That's what we're talking about. All of us, particularly those of us who call ourselves Christians, to trust God enough that when life is really difficult and it doesn't make sense and it seems like it's a mess, that we'll continue to trust God through that for good. We'll continue to trust his love, to trust his grace, to trust his kindness toward us, even when it doesn't feel like it. That's what we're talking about. So you want to go there? So to do that, I feel like we need to do a quick review of what we talked about last Sunday, because that was foundation to the discussion today. So just, we'll try to do this pretty quickly. So all of us, we live a lifespan. We're going to live somewhere between like 0 and 100 years. And what I want us to understand is that every one of us at some point along this journey or at multiple points along this journey of life, at times life's going to seem really hard, difficult, trying, aggravating, annoying, frustrating. Life gets like that. Marriage gets like that. Raising kids gets like that. Work gets like that. Sometimes our health gets like that. It's hard. And sometimes along this journey of life, life hurts. It's heartbreaking. It's sad. It makes us angry. It leaves us discouraged, disillusioned. Life is like that. And sometimes it's just short little blips along this journey many times. Sometimes it's long seasons of life. And sometimes it's like entire eras. We go years and years and years where life is hard and life hurts. And there's one thing that makes all the difference in how we navigate hard and how we find our way through hurt. One thing. It's true for every single person on the planet. That one thing. And the question, where is God? The one thing that makes a difference is faith. Because it's during the hard and it's during the hurt that we start asking the question, where is God? Like, why is he not helping? Why is he not making this go away? Why is he not making this easier? And the one thing that helps us to navigate through the hard and the hurt is faith. And everybody has it. Everybody lives by faith. I don't care if we're talking atheist, agnostic, completely irreligious person. Everybody lives by faith because faith is simply about trust. And trust is a set of beliefs that ultimately shape perspective. The beliefs that you and I establish as true, not spiritual, not religious, the beliefs that we adopt as being true ultimately shape how we look at life, how we see ourselves, how we see others, how we see God, how we see politics, how we see morality. It shapes how we look at life, and how we look at life ultimately creates expectations. What we think about life and how we think it should go. And what you believe and the perspective that it creates for you and the expectations that ultimately come out of your perspective leaves us in one of two places. We're either, when we encounter something that's hard and that hurts, it either leaves us feeling hopeless or it allows us to go through trying, difficult circumstances of life with a sense of hope, a sense of peace, even a sense of joy. And that all comes back to this, what we believe. Faith is about trust. Who do you trust? What do you trust? And not only what, but what you believe about what you believe in. Like I was telling you last week, lots of people say they believe in God. But you got to get inside what they believe about God. And if they believe things like God is good, therefore bad things would never happen, then we're always going to end up in the wrong place with a perspective and a set of expectations. Did you follow that? So I just can't say enough of how important your faith is, what you trust. So anytime you have a discussion where there might be like hard things to sort of wrestle with, one of the best places to begin is what can we all agree on? So you ready? Can we all agree on a few things? That we as humans generally and we as Americans specifically. Okay, you ready? Could we all agree to this? That we typically like our lives to be comfortable and convenient. Okay, yes, it's true. Like whoever goes on vacation and says, hey, honey, what do you say this year? We find the most awful, gross, nasty hotel to stay in. the Wilsons, we use the word jicky. Anybody else use that word? Let's find a jicky hotel. You know, where the sheets are like, you're not sure they've been washed. Yeah, we could go into details. So, but none of us do that. None of us do. None of us goes to the car dealer and says, yeah, hey, I'm looking for a car that almost never starts in the morning. Like when I need to get to work, I'd like it if it didn't start. And man, it'd be great if you could just fix me up with something that will always stall in traffic. I love that. We never do that. Why? Because we typically like to be comfortable and we typically like our lives to be convenient. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not making any kind of moral statement. That's true of us, right? So then the flip side would be true. We typically dislike it when our lives are uncomfortable and inconvenient. This is why when we're late for a meeting and we get caught on traffic on I-10 and we get so annoyed because we don't like to be inconvenienced. If we work in the office and the office air conditioner is broken and we're really uncomfortable, we don't like that. We dislike that. So we agreed to these two things? Okay, could we all agree to the third thing? We typically think we know a lot about the stuff we know a lot about. Yes. This is like opinions, perspectives. We're pretty set in what we understand about the way that life should work. And when somebody has a different perspective and a different opinion, we tend to sort of push back against that because we know what we know, right? Okay, so the last one's going to be a stretch, particularly if you're here and you don't believe in God and you don't believe that God exists, okay? I'm going to ask you to play along, okay, if there was a God. But for many of us in this room, we believe there is a God. And can we all agree this? We typically don't know nearly as much as God. We know a lot. Probably don't know as much as he does. He's been around a lot longer. Can we all just shake our heads like this? Make sure that I didn't lose anybody. We don't like to be inconvenienced. We like our lives comfortable. We know what we know. We stand pretty firm in it, and if it's true, God knows more than we do. So I want you to look at this next equation. Tell me how you feel. Hard plus hurt equals help. Suddenly not so agreeable. Hard plus hurt equals help? Yeah, I don't know about that. You say, I think you did your math wrong. I think hard plus hurt equals help. No, I'm talking about hard plus hurt equals help. Is it possible that hard things and things that hurt could actually help? Is it possible? Well, it depends on who's looking at it. We look at it as human beings, and we look at that and we go, I don't know. That doesn't sit right with me. That seems unfair. That seems maybe cruel. That seems, I just don't like that. Have you ever wondered about like how God sees that? Have you ever wondered that perhaps when God looks at hard and he looks at hurt, he looks at it as a way that helps? See, folks, one of the things, if we're going to live by faith, one of the things that we have to learn to ease into and get comfortable with is that God's smarter than us. I mean, he tells us that. He says, my thoughts, they're not your thoughts. In other words, we don't think alike. Neither are your ways my ways. You have a way, I have a way, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, and that's true, they are, so are my ways. They're higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I just see life from a vantage point that you can't possibly see it. I just think differently than you think. I act differently than you act. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, we get the rain part. We may not get the snow part. Talked to my parents yesterday. 16 inches of snow last night. Okay? So as the rain and the snow comes down from the sky and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, ooh, sometimes it floods. And sometimes you get 16 inches of snow and you can't go out, but like the snow and the rain somehow help the earth so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Oh, we like that. So is my word. When whatever I say, whatever I think, whatever I do, so is my word that goes from my mouth. Like when I say something, when I set something into motion, it moves with purpose, like the sun, the rain, the snow. It will not return to me empty. It's not going to be a waste of anybody's time. But it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Do you see what God's saying? You and I, we don't think alike. You and I, we wouldn't act the same way in certain situations. We're very different. But I see things from a perspective that you can't possibly begin to comprehend. And whenever I set out to do anything, I always do it with purpose, and it always gets done. Always. I never waste anybody's time. You get that? Here's a great quote. I love this. This is God's universe, and God does things his way. You may have a better way, but you don't have a universe. Okay, so listen. Those of you who are Christians, if we really say that we believe in God, part of being a Christian who believes in God is we start to establish that God knows better than I do. He sees things that I can't understand. He moves in ways that I may not always get. It's part of living in a trust of him. That's faith. But we still, there's just something about the human spirit. We resist this idea that hard and hurt could help. And yet, it's not all that illogical. It isn't. We live with it all the time in stuff that really matters. And the things of life that really matter, you and I live with the fact that hard and hurt does in fact help. In fact, we're good with it, as hard as it is and as much as it hurts. I mean, here's just a list. Raising children at times is hard. You have to ask your children to do things that are hard for them. You have to ask your children to do things that upset them and make them sad and make them feel overwhelmed, not because you're being mean, but because you're trying to help them to grow up, to accept responsibility and understand the way that life works. And it's hard and it hurts them at times, but it helps them. Like discipline, however you choose your particular expression of discipline, it hurts. It hurts to take their privileges away. It hurts them to take their privileges away. But it's to help them. Exercise and fitness. It hurts. It's hard. Especially somewhere around the age of 45. And you realize that the last 25 years have gotten away from me. And you're the different shape than you really wanted to be. And you can't walk to the top of the stairs without needing a nap. And you finally decide, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm going to get into shape. I'm going to start exercising. And it's hard. And it hurts. It like, It's really hard in Texas when it's so stupid hot. But you get out there and you do it. Why? Because it'll help. Healthcare or surgery, it hurts. It's hard to have to go through that experience, but it helps. You're better on the other side of it. And if we could go on and on. Getting out of debt, it's hard. It's hard to rein in your impulsive tendencies to spend money and put it on a credit card. But if you do the work, it helps. It helps. Your financial situation is better. Learning a new skill. Have you ever tried learning how to play the guitar? The first month is miserable because it hurts the ends of your fingers. But you keep doing it. It's hard and it hurts. But eventually you start developing a new skill and it's better. You become a better guitar player. Nurturing a great marriage is a lot of work, and at times it's really hard. And feelings get hurt. But if you continue to do the work, you get a better marriage out of it. Getting a degree or doing something risky or overcoming a challenge, these are all things that we are familiar with that are hard at times and that they do hurt, and we understand that they help. Could it possibly be that we have a loving, gracious, kind, heavenly Father who's head over heels crazy about us, and he understands that sometimes to do the very best thing for our lives, it might have to get hard. And it just might hurt. If he really wants to help us. Did you follow that? At times, God uses hard and he uses hurt to bring out the best in us. God has all these things that he wants for you and me. All these things that he understands about how our lives would be richer and fuller and deeper and more powerful and more promising. He knows all these things. Some things he knows about you that you don't even know about yourself. And he wants all this good for you. He wants that for you. Why? Because he loves you. He sees, we'll just get specific. He sees where your impatience continues to disrupt and hurt relationships. And he goes, oh, I want something different for you. I want something better. He sees that addiction to pornography and that lust that just seems to dominate your every thought, male or female. He sees it and he goes, oh, that hurts my heart because I know how much of a mess it's making in your life. And so as a father, he sits back and he goes, what could we do to help you with that? And he goes, this might hurt. This might be hard, but I'm going to help you. James writes this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, like challenges, difficulties, frustrating, maddening kinds of things. Consider it joy. You say, who finds pleasure when everything hurts? Or everything's hard, or everything's broken. You're either a nitwit or a repairman, right? So it's like, consider pure joy when you encounter trials of many kinds. You guys totally missed that joke, but because you know that the testing of your what? Your trust, what you trust in, the testing, putting it through its paces to see if it's really sufficient, the testing of your faith produces something. It produces perseverance, a stamina, an endurance, an ability to go through it when it's hard. And let perseverance finish its work. I mean, we just hang in there long enough to where it can do its work so that you may be what? Mature and complete, not lacking anything that I want for you to enjoy in life. How do we become this beautiful person that God imagines? Well, we have to go through the testing of our faith through things that are hard and things that hurt. Did you follow that? Second, at times God uses hard and he uses hurt to prepare us for what he's preparing for us. Remember, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I see things from a perspective that you can't. In one of the books of the Bible, it says this, God sees the end from the beginning. Like God's the only one who can stand here before anything even happens, and he can see 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the road, and he goes, I know exactly how it's going to turn out. And so God is always preparing us for the thing that we don't even know about yet in your marriage, your kids, your career. And he's up to stuff sometimes through the hard and through the hurt. He's like, oh, just be patient. Just see me through here because you don't even know this. But 15 years from now, your path is going to intersect at an opportunity. And you're going to look back and go, oh my gosh. That's why that was so hard. There's a great story in the Old Testament. A guy named Joseph had a bunch of brothers, like a dozen of them, and they didn't like him. And they ended up selling him as a slave. He thought, your sister was mean. Right? So they sell their brother as a slave just to get rid of him. He ends up getting carried off into Egypt. They don't see him for years. And it's hard in Egypt for him. And then things start changing. Years later, he finds himself the second in command of the entire empire of Egypt. Worked out for him, didn't it? Problem is that his brothers still live in Israel. Israel goes through a famine. They really need food. They go to Egypt to find it. Guess who they run into? Oh, yeah, the brother that they sold into slavery. Once this all becomes known, they're really frightened that their brother's going to even the score. Send them home really hungry. And so they make up this big story, this big lie. Dad said you weren't supposed to get back at us. That's a short story. You can read about it in Genesis. I love his response. Joseph said to them, hey guys, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Like here I am all these years later. I'm exactly where God wanted me to be. Perhaps for this day, you intended to harm me. But God intended it for what? For good. God had a good plan all along. He intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done. Because if you hadn't sold me into slavery all those years ago, I wouldn't have found myself in this position to be able to feed an entire clan of my family. The saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. Just forget about it. It's okay. It's water under the bridge. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and he spoke kindly to them. Is it hard right now in your life? Hurting right now in your life? What if the one thing that you cling to right now is that God knows something that I don't about what my future holds? And he's at work to prepare something in me for what he has in store for the future. At times, God uses hard and hurt to nurture a greater trust in him. Sometimes the only reason that it hurts and sometimes the only reason that it's hard is God saying, you just need to trust me more. I'm trying to get you to trust me more. Quit trusting in your money. Quit trusting in your career. Quit trusting in your spouse. Quit trusting in your success. Quit trusting in your talents. Quit trusting in anything other than me. And I find that you're drawn to trust in things other than me. So God says, okay, how are we going to do this? This might hurt a little while. Because I need to drive you back to me. To where I am the one thing that you trust most in life. It's interesting. The Apostle Paul, he's one of the early leaders of the first century church. He was phenomenally talented, incredibly influential. He had a resume that was made him one of the best of the best, and he was so powerful in his work. He tells us this in 2 Corinthians, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh. He never tells us what it is. And we're not even going to try to make something up. This is some sort of a physical challenge. And he has a word for it, a messenger of Satan. Now, we're not going to get lost in that, okay? It's just saying the thing bugs the snot out of me, all right? To torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord, take this away from me. You're saying only 3? Weenie. Like, I've been asking God 1,000 times to take something away from me. Okay, he's just saying, I've really made this an issue with me and God. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, Paul the apostle, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I need you to carry this so that you'll just remember to trust in me. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong, not in my own sufficiency, but because of my faith in the powerful God who I say is my heavenly Father. So it's possible at times the hard and the hurt is this God saying, you don't trust me enough yet, so we're going to work on it a little bit more. At times God uses hard and he uses hurt to bring greater glory to himself. Here's where I say to people all too often, only because it's the truth, they ask me, why is God doing this and where is God? And I just say, I don't know. I can't tell you. But I can tell you that he never moves without purpose. And sometimes all that God is doing is he wants to use your life and my life to bring greater glory to himself. And you go, okay, what does that mean? Well, you know anything about the word glory? That's a question. No. The word means heavy. That helped, didn't it? It means heavy. It means weight or weighty. In other words, God's always at work to make sure that he carries a lot of weight in our life. In other words, he reserves the right to have the most influence in your life. So at times, God uses hard and hurt just because he wants to continue to make sure we understand that he holds the most weight. Maybe he just wants us to learn, hey, don't trifle with me. Don't mess with me. Don't presume upon my grace. Don't take advantage of my love. Don't mess around when it comes to these things that are so critical to your life. Say, I will always carry the most weight. It's interesting. We see this a number of times in the Gospels. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" This was a pretty common perception. We see it in the first century a lot of, there was this belief that if mom and dad did something bad or if a person did something bad, a lot of times physical illness or handicap was the result. Does that make sense? He's blind because somebody did something bad and God's punishing them. We shouldn't look at that so cross-eyed because so many of us live the same way. If things are going hard in our life and if things hurt in our life, we think that maybe we've done something wrong and God's punishing us. No, he's not punishing you. He's helping. And so Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned. It's not about that. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. I have a plan and a purpose for this man's life in his blindness. I'm going to do something in and through him that brings glory to me, that shows people just how incredibly great I am. It's possible that God will be at work in your life the same way. It's possible. You know, I do triathlons. In the morning of a triathlon, you get all your gear set up, transition area, and then everybody goes down to where the swim starts. And they play the national anthem, and they share a bunch of rules about what you're supposed to remember. Don't drown. Don't crash. Whatever you do, don't stop running. Stuff like that. Then there's three starting waves. The first are the pros, the elites. These are the people that do this for a living, and they're phenomenal. They get to go first so that nobody gets in their way because they're going to crush the course. The next group that gets to go are the para-athletes. These are the athletes who are missing legs or arms, or they're blind, or they're deaf. Or they've got cancer and they've been given an allowance in the race. Every time I stand there, because I'm one of the slow ones, they put me way in the back. I stand there and I think, oh my gosh, how do you do this when you're missing two legs? I can hardly do it and both of my legs work fine. I get so inspired by them. I get so inspired that these people who have been through something awful have turned it into something amazing. They're saying, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep doing life even though I'm missing my legs. And they get up and they get on the same starting line that I do. And they head off on a swim. And they get on some kind of a wheelchair and then they usually cross the finish line before I do. I'm so inspired by them. Their life is being used in a way that they don't even understand. It's possible that your cancer, it's possible that your divorce, it's possible that that kid that's breaking your heart, God's going to use it to inspire some people, to cause people to consider God in ways that they never thought of God. Because your joy and your peace and your hope and your tenacity through the really hard times might just convince that neighbor, that friend, that relative, that coworker, that evidently that God you believe in really is amazing because of what they see in you going through hard times. And suddenly somebody who gave God no weight in their life, the weight starts to get ratcheted up. And that may be why God's doing what he's doing in your life. Does any of that make sense? Folks, there's a couple things that we have to embrace. There's so many details to it, I'll just do this quickly. But there's these profound truths that we see throughout the Bible. And as we learn them and as we embrace them, they shape faith. They shape our perspective in what we trust, particularly for those of us who are Christians. If you're not a Christian, you can sort of look at all this stuff and just thumb your nose at it and say, I'm not interested. But if we profess to be Christians, we don't get to thumb our nose at it. It's about us submitting ourselves to it as truth, God's abiding truth for the way that we're supposed to go about living our life. And here's three really big ones. We see this all, that there is nothing higher in life than to bring God glory. To live our lives in such a way that God is given the weight that he deserves. And any time that we live our lives for his glory, it will always be our good. Even if that hurts, even if that's hard, when we're living our lives for God's glory, it will never get any better than that. And we make enormous progress as Christians when we start to accept this. His place, our position, a fundamental truth of Scripture is that God's place is number one. He's always at the top. He sits on the throne. He is king. All through the Bible, God is described as a king, and we make our best choices in life when we allow him to be the king and we stop trying to be in charge. He is first place, and our position is below that. We are never above God. And the more that we can start living comfortably in the fact that God has the top place and we will always assume another place, the better our life will go spiritually. Spiritually and financially and relationally and emotionally and mentally and physically, whenever we leave God in the first place and we resign ourselves graciously and willingly and humbly to be in a different position, then our life is in the right place. His plan, our purpose. We see it all through the Scriptures that God has a plan, and that plan is related to a purpose that he has designed for our lives. Now, I don't like stringing you on. Okay, it's not really like I get my jollies from that. But I can't cover it all in a single day. So if you come back next Sunday, we're going to talk a little bit about this some more. My staff, they just like, oh, so we're going to make this a three-part series. Yes, we're going to talk about this. Okay, so I leave you with this thought. We'll explore this next Sunday in detail. We know, this is stuff we trust. This is faith. Remember, faith shapes perspective, which influences expectation. Do you remember any of that? I'll start over. We know, this is the confidence that we live with as Christians. This is what our faith is founded in. We know that in all things, the easy, the comfortable, the good, the prosperous, and the uncomfortable and the inconvenient and the hard and the hurt. We know that in all things, God works. And he works for the good of those who love him. Christian, you can't ever be in a better place than to be in a relationship with God. Those of you who aren't Christians, I'm honestly saying to you, you are in the worst position possible because you don't have a God who's in love with you in that way as a son or a daughter. But for those of us who love him, he's always at work for good, who have been called according to what? His purpose, the best position we can be in life for those God foreknow he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. The number one highest purpose that God is at work in your life is to shape a reflection of Jesus in you. The very best thing to come out of hard and hurt is a greater trust in God with your life. And when we start living our lives as a reflection of Jesus, it is the ultimate demonstration that we have come to trust that God's way is the best. And if you come back next Sunday, I'll try to tell you more about that. So sometimes, even when we don't understand it, and even when we don't like it, there's a good God who's your heavenly Father, and he's up to good in your life. And sometimes he uses what's hard, and he uses what's hurt to get you there. Make sense? I didn't say, did you like it? Did it make sense? All right, let me ask you to stand together. Let me pray for you. God, this is everything. This is everything. It all comes down to one thing, and that is, will we trust you? We can know our Bible forwards and backwards. We can go to church every Sunday. We can be generous in the offering plate. We can wear t-shirts with your name on it. But the question is, do we trust you? We like to trust you when all's good, but will we trust you when all is hard and life hurts? Help us with these things. I pray and ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right, gang, have a great Sunday.